Every now and again I get to share probably my favourite message. And I feel like I'm in the zone today. If this was a song, this would be my genre. And we're talking about the love of God. And I'm right on target, because most of the songs, the words that have been shared today, were all dots connecting into making a bigger picture. The love of God. And it's basically the longer version of what I shared on Wednesday. And somebody might say, well, I heard that before. Well, we'll hear it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's no rules in preaching. We just keep hearing and hearing and hearing till we finally get it. Took me 25 years to get a revelation of the love of God. And when I got it, changed me completely. Changed my whole life. And so today I'm going to talk about around that subject. Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. But it wasn't talking about these ears. It was talking about the ears in our heart. The eyes of our understanding be open and enlightened, that we may know. Amen. So before I begin, I want to, you know, I'm going to pray, but prayer is not just talking to God, but it's stilling our hearts before him. And so that we open up our hearts so that we can hear what he wants to say to us. What he wants us to see. And what he wants us to receive. So if we can just all close our eyes and be still before the Lord. And you ask him in your own way. What do you need to hear today? What does he want you to show you? What does he want you to receive? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your great love. I thank you, Lord, for your great love today. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we may see the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love that you have for us, Lord. Lord, I surrender myself to you afresh today, Lord. Not by my might, nor by my power, but by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that as your word goes forth today, that it shall not return unto you void, that it shall accomplish that for which you please, and prosper in every area whereunto you send it, to the end that someone might be saved, to the end that somebody might be healed, to the end that someone might receive a miracle. To the end that somebody might be set free, might be delivered, might come into a place of peace and knowing your love, Father God, that goes beyond all comprehension. I pray that today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is the greatest love story ever told. From beginning to end, it's about the love of a father for his children. The love of a groom for his bride. With a good dollop of soap-type drama in between. Amen? Lots of drama. But its pages are filled with the message of hope. Two ingredients that are vital in our faith walk with him. Number one, is the knowledge of how much God loves us. And also understanding that with him and through him, we always have hope for the future. Always. I believe that. Always have hope for the future. We just sung that this morning. And there have been many occasions that I've had to draw on that knowledge, regardless of what pressure I'm under, that the love of God is always with me and that he's always got my back. I love that picture of that bird in that rock with all the storms and everything coming around. I remember another picture. It was about lighthouses. This lighthouse was, and all around it, the storms, and there was these huge waves coming around, and there was this guy right in the doorway, just standing there at peace. Same thing. Proverbs 13:12 encourages us to hold on and don't lose hope of our, don't lose our hope, because hope deferred, or hope lost, hope shattered, hope crushed, makes the heart sick. And that can have a detrimental effect on our faith. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart flows the force of life. Amen. Now, the definition of hope is a strong expectation, a strong sense of confidence and assurance. The Collins Dictionary defines it as someone on the brink of success and breakthrough. If hope is secured in you, you're always on the brink of success and breakthrough. But I've learned over the years through my own experience and working with others that self-condemnation can play a huge part in people losing hope, people losing faith. Self-condemnation. And sadly, many folks struggle to believe that they are good enough or have value. After her death, through the writings in her diary, they discovered that Mother Teresa struggled with a sense of not being worthy in the sight of God. Imagine that, Mother Teresa. Not being loved by him. She felt abandoned, caused her great inner turmoil. And years before she died, she would warn her fellow sisters, and she would say, "The devil is continuously on the prowl in order to make you feel that it is impossible for Jesus to really love you and that he is really close to you." This situation, she said, is a danger for us all. Peter echoed those sentiments. He says, "Be vigilant, be on guard, because your adversary walks about like a roaring lion, looking whom he may devour." That devour means he puts the heat on you like heat on an ice block, to water you down, to make you feel weak, impotent in your faith and your beliefs. He doesn't always just attack us, but there's a subtlety that he brings on us. And it usually works in here. I'm not good enough. The tools he uses are lies and deception. He's a con artist. He's no lion. Just makes a lot of noise like one. Tries to convince you that you're not worthy. You're not good enough. Drags up your past. Fills you with guilt and shame, so you end up self-condemned. And many have been sucked into that scenario. It strangled your hopes, shipwrecked your faith. Those same people have given up, given in, and gone home. I remember a man talking about a church that he went in, and he said, basically, the message was every week, "God is good, you're bad, try harder." Every week, a different way of putting it, but basically, "God is good, you're bad, try harder." And so every week he did try harder.
And he did try harder. But every week it was the same message. And in the end, he just gave up. God is always good. God is always good. God thinks you're wonderful. He knows we miss it, but he's there to help you up. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be cast out, for the Lord upholds you with his hands. John says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Self-condemnation is both toxic and lethal in our walk of faith. As I said, sadly, too many Christ followers, struggle with the belief that they couldn't possibly receive anything of value from God. No revelation, no clear understanding of the unconditional love of God, just some religious viewpoint of who he is and what he is. Stuck in a rut. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not acceptable enough. I'm struggling to see any value in myself. So how can God see any value in me also? It's a similar situation to the 12 spies. Something that was really similar when the 12 spies went out to spy out the land, remember? They came across the giants. And they came back, the Bible says, with an evil report. They said, yes, the land is filled with milk and honey. It's everything you said it was. But we saw giants in the land. And when we saw ourselves next to the giants, we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes. In our own hearts. And so we were in theirs. Interesting, because the giants didn't even say anything. But because of how they saw themselves, they assumed that the giants saw them that way as well. And here's the thing. God didn't send them out to check out the giants or compare themselves to them. He said, go out and see what the land is like. See what you like. See how we're going to divide it up. It's yours. It's already yours. I've put it in your hands. But they came back with a view that they couldn't see it. What they didn't realize was that, oh my goodness, they could have stuck a couple of babies in pushchairs, sent them across and got them to throw bottles at the giants, and they would have fallen over. Fire one, here's the giants. Fire two, there's Jericho. But they came back and they said, we were as grasshoppers in our own sight, self-condemned. They missed out. Because of how they saw themselves. I'm like a grasshopper in my own sight, in my own heart. I must look the same to God as well. So you withdraw your hopes. You withdraw your dreams, your expectations, your faith. I'm not good enough. I'll just stay quiet here in the background. I'll just stay quiet here in the shadows, self-condemned. Paul said that people with this viewpoint have a problem of a heart. It's a heart problem. So some surgery is needed. I mean, we need to unblock some arteries. We need to work on some hearts. Heart change, valve change. Change the state of our hearts. Get the blood flowing again. The blood of Jesus flowing in us. The blood of his word flowing in us. Change our thinking. Change our understanding. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Romans tells us, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't conform to the world's. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, God is not wanting us just to be filled with more information, but filled with the truth of revelation that brings transformation. Psalms tells us the unfolding or teaching of your word gives light so that even the simple can understand. My gosh, it's good for me. It's great news. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. I am the life. If you want to build your self-esteem on something solid, something firm, with a firm foundation, build it on what God says about you. Can you, somebody bring me that, my water there, please? Thank you. Getting a ticket. Listen. As good and as important as it can be, don't look to others for your source of affirmation and your sense of worth and value. Don't give yourself over to other people to validate you. Go to a higher source. Too many people try to fit into the crowd, become people pleasers. So they try and fit in and find acceptance, and they end up being controlled, manipulated instead. You came into the world an original, one of a kind. Don't let your need for others' affirmation cause you to go out of copy. Remember the story about the man with the leprosy? In Matthew 8:1, when Jesus came down from the mountain, a large crowd followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. He says, "I am willing, be clean." Immediately he was cured. Leprosy, a hideous disease, left people with missing parts, dysfunctional, scarred and maimed for life. A contagious disease that required the person to be shunted off into obscurity, away from the general public, into leprosy colonies, rejected, no longer wanted, isolated, looked down upon, spoken about, with no hope, no way of getting back to a normal life. He may have looked for support and comfort and affirmation in others, but he found none. So he decided to look beyond how others saw him. Look beyond what they had to say about him. He looked beyond his own view of himself, and he positioned himself to hear and see what Jesus thought of him. What Jesus could see in him. And he came up to Jesus and he bowed down and he says, "Jesus, I know you can heal me, but look at me. Look at the state I'm in. I've got parts missing in my life. I'm leading a dysfunctional life." He said, "I know you can do something for me, but are you willing to?" Another scripture says that Jesus, full of compassion, reached out and said, "Yes, I am willing." Reached out, touched him, and made him whole. But he positioned himself to hear what Jesus had to say about him. And we need to position ourselves. Listen, I know it has become a cliche, but God really is a good God. And all the time, God is good. And in Genesis chapter 1, we get our first view of God, and not just his amazing power and ability, but also his artistic beauty in his heart. We see that in the beauty of creation. Most of us see that night and day if we care to get up or stay up and look at it. When we lived down in Paraparaumu, we bought a home right up on the hill, and we had a 360-degree view of all the Kapiti, all the ocean, Kapiti Island, and right around to the back. And on a beautiful, cold, clear winter's day, we could see pretty much the South Island, the snow-capped ranges. But every now and again, there'd be a sunset, and we'd sit out on the porch and watch God paint the canvas of the skies in all the colors of the rainbow. Stunning. Absolutely beautiful. verse after verse, when God created, he says, and it is good. And it is good. And it is good. And we see him pushing back what was dark and chaotic, flooding it instead with life, light, order and stability. And when we look at that, we can clearly see the heart of God. Nothing dark, nothing ugly in it. And with creation of man, we see God himself wanting family, wanting relationship, wanting to love and be loved, wanting to embrace. And as he walked and talked with man in the Garden of Eden, his voice was the voice of intimacy, of love, of acceptance, of value, of inclusion. And when you see and understand that, then you realize the way to view God and approach him is with all that in mind. That God is a good God, not some grumpy old sad sack sitting on a cloud somewhere with a big stick ready to hit you. And the Bible is full of how God views us, what he says about us. And today I want to give you a glimpse of what he has to say. In Genesis 2:7, it says, I breathe into your nostrils the breath of life. That speaks of intimacy, of someone giving you life. I created you in my own image, formed and molded you. My eyes saw you and your unformed substance. I knitted you together in your mother's womb. We had a revelation on Wednesday that Jesus does knitting. Zechariah said it this way, you're the apple of his eye. Wow. The apple of his eye. The icing on the cake. The psalmist said, when I look at the stars in the universe and all of creation, he said, I marvel that you look beyond all that and you consider man. Right. I was reading the word for today, the other day. And Zephaniah had a scripture in there, Zephaniah 3:17, and it shared some things about that. It said, he will exalt over you with loud singing. And it went on to say that God is so besotted with us that he sings over us and doesn't hold back. Isn't that incredible? We think we have to sing to God all the time, but he actually sings over us. And he doesn't hold back. He roars with delight. And he cheers you on, listen to this, like an embarrassing mum at a football match. Ah, that's my boy. Listen, that's my boy. That's my girl. Look at him. Oh, go, 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 go. That's my kids down there at Hope Center. That's my kids all gathering around the country, around the world. Look at them. That's my daughter. That's my son. Go, you lot. Go, Hope Center. You're fantastic. You're wonderful. Did you see my son? Did you see my daughter? I remember when I was my oldest grandson started rugby. And his first game, and I mean, he was like a chook with no head, running around all over the place. But he wanted to score a try, but he didn't know the rules or anything. And they were telling him, no, run that way, Malachi, run that way. And so he came off the field quite quite discouraged, you know. And I said, "Oh, Malachi, man, you must be the fastest runner on the field." And he went, "Really, Papa?" I said, "Oh, yeah, man, you must be the fastest on the field." And of course, about 2 weeks after, I used to go along, and he was slowly getting it, but he wasn't scoring any tries, so he'd come off discouraged. And I said, "Oh, you're getting faster and faster, Malachi," and his head would lift up. And about the fifth week, I think I didn't turn up, and I rang up his mum, and I said, "Oh, how'd he go?" She said, "Oh, man." She said he was fantastic. She said they passed him the board and he took it off like a rabbit and he scored 2 tries that week. He really believed he was the fastest in the team. She said nobody could catch him. He had a crazy grandfather telling him he was awesome, even though he was like a chook with no head. But he cheers us on. The Lord of the universe keeps you close to his thoughts and reminds himself of you. It's like he keeps a picture in his wallet of you. Wow. Isn't that amazing? There are many more scriptures that tell us what God thinks about us. But you have to discover them for yourself. You have to hear those things for yourself. And you have to hear them through a frequency that he is for you and not against you. If all you're hearing is condemnation, guilt, rejection, criticism, exclusion, then you're in the wrong company. Then you're on the wrong station. You need to change channels. You need to change the crowd. Romans 8:31 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. 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 Nothing, nothing, nothing means nothing. I looked it up in the Greek and Hebrew. I was amazed at what it said. It actually means nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I looked it up in the dictionary. The same. It meant the same thing. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through Christ, the cross revealed the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and the sacrificial enormity of Christ's love for you and I. You matter to God. You really do. Even in our darkest times, in our lowest nature, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Hard to get our heads around that one, eh? We all miss it from time to time. We all get down on us. But here's the punchline. Here's the punchline. John tells us that God doesn't just have love, but God is love. Big difference. God doesn't just have love, but God is love. If you have love, it can come and go. But if you are love, then it's constant. It doesn't fluctuate. There's no, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Uh-oh, I've got the pedal with, he loves me not. No! He just loves you. His grace, his compassion, and his mercy. Well, brother, does that mean I can keep on living the way of my own rules? Do what I like, when I like, how I like? No. Grace doesn't give us license to sin. Grace is available to help us get over sin, get through all the hurdles. It's not a free-for-all. Paul made that quite clear when he wrote to the church at Rome, Romans 6:1, if you want to look that up. Yes, God allows freedom of choice, but he said, if you follow after or fulfill the lust of the flesh, you will reap death. But if you follow after the Spirit of God, you will reap life. God is also a God of justice. He has to allow the principle of sowing and reaping to have way. But we all miss it. We all struggle with our lower nature. Paul himself struggled. He said, you know, there are some times when I don't do the things I know I should do. And he said, and I end up doing the things that I know that I shouldn't do. Wretched man that I am. But God knew about the grace of God there to help him get over those things. But when we do miss it and realize, repent, turn, the Bible says he is just and faithful to forgive you, cleanse you of all righteousness. And as far as the east is from the west, he remembers our sin no more. How far is the east is from the west? It's infinite. If we were to stand here in the east and start to travel to try and find the west, we'd just keep going around and around and around and around. You'd never find it. That's how far away your past is from God. And if God puts our sin, our mistakes, our fails out of his memory, then it only stands to reason that he doesn't want us to remember them either. You don't have to stay self-condemned. You don't have to lose your hope. You don't have to get to your faith, your dreams, or your confidence. Hebrews tells us, hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jeremiah 29:11, and I think Malcolm said it this morning. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a future with hope. Philippians, I love this scripture. Be confident of this. Be confident of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. A lot of times I'm talking to unbelievers, they struggle to believe that they're not good enough. Or they're good enough, until I tell them that it's not about how good or bad they are, but it's how good Jesus is. God did not come into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. He came in to seek and to save that which was lost, broken, rejected. He came and takes us out of that broken life and gives us abundance. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, love brought him to earth. Love hung on the tree for us. Love took our sin, guilt, shame, and past. Love died on our behalf. Love rose again and opened the way for us to walk with him in eternity. I hope that's helped today.
I was just so aware as we were worshipping, it was like being enveloped with a blanket. It was just, it was warm. And when you think the opposite, you know, when people don't know the love of God, it can be very cold and icy out there, very lonely. So leave today wrapped in the love of God. Every now and then when you come across someone who looks like the world's getting on top of them, just pull that blanket, open that blanket up a little bit and draw them in. Let them feel the warmth and love of God, your warmth and love. That's beautiful. You know, I getting revelation, it's a revelation of the love of God. Before we got saved, we didn't know, whilst God's love existed, we didn't know experientially God's love. He'd been extending his love towards us. But the moment when we become Christians, the love of God gets shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And we begin to learn to live with the sense of his love. And it becomes a revelation. Wait up, I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved. And some of us, it was easy for us to believe in the love of God because we had a loving Father and we made a connection. But others, we had gaps. And it's been a hard road getting to understand the love of God. And the love of God and the grace of God are interconnected. Because God's love is unconditional. His grace, he accepts us as we are. And knowing that we're not perfect, but God just accepts us, I think is great news. He loves us. You know, yesterday I was in, start of the day in Hastings, and I had to come down to be here in town for a short time. And I received some news just before I left. And as I was driving, that news was playing in my head, and I just felt myself falling more and more into a funk. Has anybody ever been in that situation? You hear something, it starts playing with your head, it starts robbing you of the joy and robbing you of the love and robbing you of the peace, and that thing grows and builds in your thinking and begins to overshadow. And I was listening to Radio Rema at the time, and it seemed like, you know, all this beautiful truth coming at me, but this idea was taking over. And then in the middle of it, God spoke to me through something being said at Rema. And I realized I now have the choice to continue to let this thing overshadow me and rob me, or believe the truth. And as I did, I began to feel that icy grip coming off me, and the love and my security and everything sort of returned. And so whatever you've been going through, just let that grip replace whatever. What's going on there, Jackson? Oh, okay. Oh, okay, good. So I want you to just know that God loves you. Walk away today knowing the love of God. You know, and to the strange family, leave knowing our continued love. And come back and visit your home away from home. And to you all, continue to let the love of Christ be shed abroad in your heart. Father, we thank you right now as we go. We thank you, Lord, for your love that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for your love. What can separate us from the love of God? And I pray right now, Lord, as we leave this place, your love, Father, would go with us and continue to position us to love and minister to other people. Lord, that you would overflow. Father, I love that picture of you singing over us with joy. And Father, as we enjoy just singing to you and ministering to you, I thank you, Lord, that you sing words, songs over us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, give us ears to hear these songs. Help us, Lord, never to doubt your love. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. Well, folks, I want to encourage you. Make sure you give away a few hugs today. It's all been about love, so it's been touchy-feely, hasn't it? So why don't we... You know, psychologists say we need 7 hugs to keep ourselves psychologically healthy. So keep each other sane and give away a hug today. Now, I know one or two of us are a little bit far gone, but maybe we need that extra hug. God bless you, everybody. See you next Sunday.